Live, local, and unafraid, this is Hudson Valley Focus with Tom Sipas on The Beacon.
And dealing with the very issues that have a huge impact on your life and quality of life right here in our Hudson Valley. Hudson Valley Focus Live is live and local. Good morning, Joe Jenkins.
Good morning, Tom. How are you?
I'm doing quite well. You guys had a big press conference yesterday.
Yeah, it was held on our property, but it's really a coalition that came together in response to some proposed legislation that was introduced last year. And while it hasn't received a lot of political momentum up in Albany, it continues to make headlines, this idea that there's legislation that would create a state-run entity that would seize Central Hudson from Fortis and take it over and have the government run the utility. And this coalition, the Protect Our Power Coalition, really came together very naturally. There were a lot of labor organizations, local business organizations, chambers of commerce who kind of came to us once they saw this making headlines and had very real concerns. And obviously it was a concern for ours at Central Hudson. We were aligned in that. And so we've come together as sort of a movement to try and educate the community about, number one, what Central Hudson does for the community, what we have done for 125 years. But number two, not just Central Hudson, but to push back on this idea that the government would somehow run the utility better than the current model. And we want to educate the public on really the impacts, the potential impacts that a government takeover could have.
So I still want to hear from our elected officials on our utility bills. The fact that the utilities would be allowed or even required to have a full breakdown of how much of our utility bill in all of its forms is taxation.
Yes.
It is hidden from public view. They're blaming this. And then not just taxation, but other regulation. We've talked about capacity surcharges, right. MTA taxes. I mean, my
Absolutely.
God, it's endless what's in there. And they hide behind that. And, you know, any utility, I'm not just talking about Central Hudson, whether we're talking about Orange and Rockland, NYSEG, who's National Grid. It's the same story.
Yeah.
It's the same story. And across the country, it's the same story with the political interference. Why are we seeing now reports coming out that we may see grid collapse? This isn't Central Hudson. This is
right.
What the public needs to understand.
Yeah.
The political interference literally for 30 years, going back to FERC.
Yeah.
Right? In the 1990s, Federal Energy Regulatory Commission mandated changes. They pushed a narrative on wind and solar, Green New Deal. We haven't been allowed to build out the real backbone.
That's right.
Yeah. That carries these networks.
That's right. And that's the challenge that all utilities face across the country. This isn't a Central Hudson
exactly.
issue. It's not a New York State issue. Is the aging infrastructure and the rate at which we're able to build it out, upgrade it, replace it. Those are the challenges we're facing right now, because we're looking at a timeline where they're trying to transition the energy system faster than we can fix and upgrade the infrastructure to move that energy.
And the real problem is that tens, if not hundreds of billions of dollars have been diverted away from the priority of actually rebuilding the grid. I was talking this morning about the failure, the collapse and failure of the Ivanpah-focused solar array out in California.
Yep.
It's worthless. $2.2 billion. $2.2 billion just on one project.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That could have been the time, the money, the energy invested in actually working on portions of the infrastructure.
That's right. Yeah. And not only that, in New York State, what we're seeing, and that to make it a little more local, is when we look at these wind and solar developments, and want to be clear that when it comes to Central Hudson's position, we're energy agnostic. We don't care how the energy is made. We do want to make sure that we're watching those carbon emissions and keeping things nice and clean and transitioning to the cleanest version of our economy we can possibly achieve. we want to do it in one on a pragmatic timeline, but two, what's happening now in New York State is we are taking legacy generation offline at a rate faster than we were replacing it with anything else. That's reducing those margins that we need in order to continue to provide safe and reliable service. And that's where our concerns really lie. And that's why we're trying to continue to work with our lawmakers and try and sound the alarm. And we saw this alarm sounded very loudly by the grid operator, the New York State Independent System Operator. Yes. They've been sounding this alarm very loudly for the last couple of years about these reserves, and you know, we're doing everything we can to help kind of amplify that.
And if we go, NYISO is correct. I mean, they have us on a pretty short timeline now, where we're going to be short. And of course, we're talking about supply and demand. If there's not enough electricity to go around, well, it skyrockets the price.
That's right.
It's that simple.
Yes,
we saw that. What was it? 2 or 3 years ago. In that one winter,
that's right,
it was a super cold winter, and people were slammed. Well, I think I mentioned to you, you were here the day I got my bill when you were last here, and I you know, with massaging it the last couple of years. And could I urge listeners, please sign up for budget billing.
Absolutely,
please sign up for budget billing. And smooth it out over the course of the year. Over the last 2 or 3 years, I've adjusted mine, tweaked it here and there. I hit August of this year, my reconciliation year. I think I was within $150, $165, whatever the number was.
Same as me. And last year was another one where we had a long, prolonged cold winter that impacted prices.
Right.
We saw it this summer. We talked about it just last week when I was here. We saw the same thing. And again, when we talk about resource adequacy, not only was the demand so high, but the NYISO, the independent system operator, during that heat wave, we had stretches where they were reaching out to the utilities, and we didn't reach the point of resource inadequacy where we needed to start curtailing or rolling blackouts, whatever you want to call it. But we were one step below that, where they were sounding the alarm and saying, hey, we're not there yet, but we're almost there. And we need to start really monitoring our consumption. And so this is not something that's 15, 20 years down the road.
No.
This is right now.
And that therein is a big part of the problem. And listeners of this show have heard me say for at least a decade, it takes 15 and 20 years to bring new capacity online.
Absolutely.
And that's why I've been ringing the bell on this one for literally all of that time, Joe Jenkins. And when we have people in Albany, some of them in Washington, who have not heeded the call,
you know,
politics does not supersede the laws of physics and energy.
That's right. And that's when it comes to everything that's happening in New York State, when it comes to the legislation proposing to take over Central Hudson. And I want to be clear, we absolutely as a business need to be regulated. We need oversight. We need to make sure we're acting in the best interest of our customers. We need to be held accountable. But we also think that when we're talking about clean energy transition, when we talk about affordability for our customers, when we talk about reliable energy, these things do not have political designations.
No.
It should be an apolitical thing. Safe and reliable delivery of energy is apolitical. It should not have political agendas. It should be based on science and engineering, and that's what we really believe we should have moving forward.
Absolutely. Joe Jenkins, a media spokesperson for Central Hudson Gas and Electric. It's 8:15. We're going to Sports Right. When we come back, I want to come back and speak more about the Protect Our Power Coalition.
Absolutely.
Back in a minute on The Beacon.
He's the voice of the Valley. Hudson Valley Focus with Tom Sipas on The Beacon.
On The Beacon. You know, Joe Jenkins, people are going to be struggling getting those window AC units out of there and storing them for the wintertime. I think it's time that they switch over to a nice, quiet, clean, energy efficient three-season mini split, or maybe one of the other high energy efficiency units. And our friends at DS Home Services, let them install a whisper quiet three-season mini split now through September 30th, which is fast approaching. A 9,000 BTU unit is only $4,899. How do you learn more? Well, simple. Visit dshomeservices.com, dshomeservices.com. Fill out their simple request. And Joe, it really is true that the energy efficiency of these new units, and whether or not we're talking about some of the other split systems with the high efficiency heat pumps. I mean, I've been an advocate of it for 40 years. I feel very strongly, though, that the, you know, state or organization should not be mandating what people do, because it's not the same for everybody.
That's right. And we see those challenges. I'm a big advocate for heat pumps in general. Central Hudson is. We've facilitated the installation of more than 20,000 of them since 2019.
Right.
I'm a big fan of them. It doesn't necessarily work for me at my house. My house is a little bit older. My insulation is not great. I only have 100-amp service right now. So even though there are rebates on that heat pump, the costs that I would have to pay out of pocket in order to get my house ready to really accommodate that heat pump would be exorbitant. And and that's the concern that I think a lot of folks have right now.
And it really is so. You know, I had a listener called in, Elliot from Hopewell Junction called in. He was talking about what they're, you know, the NYCHA, New York City Housing Authority, you know, putting in electric appliances and everything, and their capacity in their in each individual unit doesn't even come close to who's pushing us on this thing where, you know, you can't support it. So back to the Protect Our Power Coalition. I'll work with you. There's lots of other folks that I want to have come in and talk to this from very different perspectives.
Yes.
The unions, the chambers of commerce, the business organizations, our ability to for people to be able to afford to live here.
Yeah.
For businesses to remain here, for businesses to have adequate, stable power. There's really good things happening here. I'm going to be up on Friday, October 3rd. I'm going to be up at the new iPark 87 Ulster BOCES facility for that Manufacturing Day broadcast.
Yeah.
Great things happening up there.
Absolutely.
And we have to have, as we look forward, Joe Jenkins, we have to have opportunity for the students who come out of these programs to be able to have jobs here, to be able to afford to live here. As opposed to, you know, in the past, New York State, one of our biggest exports was sending our students elsewhere to make a living.
Yeah. And to your point, we see this in other areas, too. You know, IBM recently announced that they're planning on bringing about 5,000 jobs right back here to Poughkeepsie.
Yes.
That is due in very large part to the quality of power that is delivered to that facility just off of Spack
and Kill Road
every single day. And if we don't continue to make those investments in the system, if that quality of power is not there for them, they're not bringing those jobs here. So we take pride in keeping the high quality of power here that does attract those businesses.
For years and years and years, when Harold King has been on the radio with me from President of the Council of Industry, we have talked over and over and over about the need for pure power.
Yes.
And if we think it's important now as we go forward into quantum computing and circuitry that's down at the atomic – I'm making this up.
Yeah.
Circuitry that's down at the atomic level, these are make or break issues.
Yes. Yeah, and we're already seeing it in day-to-day life. It's something that has become commonplace, the difference between a simple Google query where you search something on Google versus putting something into ChatGPT. 10 times the amount of energy consumed to put something into ChatGPT than it is into Google. So these are real-life terms that are happening right now, and while we're fortunate that we have those reserves, we have those buffers, we have that capacity right now, we're quickly erasing those, and that's why we need to continue to invest in the system. We need to continue outside of Central Hudson and the Protect Our Power Coalition. We need to really start monitoring power generation. Where is it coming from? How much do we have? Because, again, it's AI, it's quantum computing, it's electrification of building heating, electrification of transportation when people want to do it. All these things become very real concerns, and we need to have a system to accommodate it.
You know, Joe, I was thinking about the conversation I had with Andrew O'Grady from Mental Health America, and I was talking about the fact that we were talking about the physical, mental well-being, and I said, you know, we have to look at things holistically.
Yes.
It's exactly the same thing here.
That's right.
Exactly the same thing for the entire ecosystem of the economy and all the parts and pieces and components that make up the energy grid, the distribution, the generation, all of that, all those pieces have to work.
Yeah, yeah, and it's you know, what we were talking about before, pragmatism, to bring it back to the Protect Our Power Coalition. We've come together very naturally because there are different concerns for everyone that's involved. It's
yes.
not a homogenous single source concern, but you know, when we do look at this, it's something that, you know, we know that in order to continue to have this area grow, we need to keep the jobs here. We need to have good power. We need to continue to have a utility that's funding the municipalities with property tax and real estate tax and things like that that wouldn't happen under a state agency. And we need someone who's going to continue to be motivated to invest in the system and invest in the communities. And there's very real concern that a government entity wouldn't necessarily do that.
No. And the fact is that what's been pointed out already is their proposal for the government to, I'm going to call it, seize a utility, actually hides the real cost of doing it. When you take away a different profit center and hide the cost, you have automatically built in inefficiency.
Yes.
You've broken your pricing model, and we have seen this happen over and over and over again. And just the loss of $60 million of property tax revenue that would impact revenue to school districts, municipalities, is huge.
Yes, yeah. And there's hidden costs that will boil down to your utility bill. The purchase of Central Hudson will be several billion dollars.
Right.
We're talking about generational debt that has to be funded, and it'll either be funded on your property tax bill or on your utility
right.
bill. We see this is...
It's a good way to say it, because that's always trying to convey the point that hiding the real cost of what this actually means.
Yeah, and there's a case study occurring in Long Island right now with this, where the utility payers are still paying for the purchase of Lilco from back in the 80s.
Yes, so. And here's the problem. Those billions of dollars then are no longer available to spend the billions of dollars to upgrade the grid that we know we already need to do.
That's correct.
So now we wind up the likelihood, not the certainty, but the likelihood that we would see further degradation of the existing grid, improvements.
That's correct.
And you mentioned Lilco. After Hurricane Sandy back in 2012, when utility workers from other parts of the country came here, that's exactly what they found, that they were paying off that old debt for the buyout of that nuclear power plant.
That's right.
And they had not made the investments in modernizing and upgrading the grid.
Yes. Yeah.
So they wound up with a real losing situation. Well, Joe, we'll continue this conversation. And listeners, you know, I'm going to be inviting in other players, other partners, I should say, in this Protect Our Power Coalition. And Joe, I want to thank you for getting a hold of me and starting this conversation.
Happy to.
And again, I want to end, remind people one more time, if you haven't done it, get the started on the budget billing. You've got some other changes coming along with energy efficiency and the thermal camera imaging that we talked about. So we'll come back in a few days and we'll talk about that as well if your schedule allows.
Yeah, it sounds great.
Excellent. Excellent. Almost time to go to our 7:30 break. And when we come back, we're going to be talking about Westchester Rev 250 here on with Shar Weigel and about the Revolutionary War event that's happening this weekend in Westchester County. Visit westchesterny.com. Visit westchesterny.com. Back in a minute on The Beacon.